there will be no other God before you.
The first nor the last, there will be no one.
There will be no other God before you.
Alpha and Omega, there's no one.
There is no one above you, no one beside you, nobody like you. There will be no other God before you.
And
For you, God, for you alone, we want to make room for you. We want to make space in our lives for the God that's like no other God. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We owe him, right? We want to make room for him. Come on. Hallelujah. This song simply says, make room.
Prepare for two, so you. Trust a lover, lover of my soul.
Come on, sing that.
See what I lack.
Come on.
You are full.
When I'm broken.
When I'm broken.
You are whole.
You are whole.
When I'm doubting.
When I'm doubting.
You are sure.
You are sure.
Trust the lover.
I'll trust the lover. Lover of my soul.
Cause what I lack,
what I lack,
you are full of.
You are full of.
When I'm broken,
when I'm broken,
you are whole.
You are whole.
When I'm doubting,
when I'm doubting,
you are sure.
You are sure.
I'll trust the lover.
I'll trust the lover. Lover of my soul.
I'll trust the lover.
I'll trust the lover.
Come on.
Lover of my soul.
I'll trust the lover.
I'll trust the lover. Lover of my soul.
I'll trust the lover.
I'll trust the lover.
Come on.
Lover of my soul.
Hallelujah. How many of you are going to trust him? Even in those hard times, yeah, even when it looks impossible, right? Trust him because he's the only one that knows the way out. You want to trust the one that knows the way, right? When you're feeling like you're in that dark tunnel, can't come out, trust in him. And he's going to lead you to the light every time you can count on it. Amen. Amen, amen. You may have your seat.
Between, we are his imaging.
We are already in the month of October.
Wow!
Last month, we were fed spiritually and physically by our youth staff and kingdom servants. It was a great way to welcome everyone back from the August break. Yes, it was a fun month, from wearing our favorite team jerseys to representing our schools and, of course, having our very own homecoming king and queen.
I know it's been a great time of fellowship, fun, and food, and everyone, those powerful messages received from Pastor Chad, Isaac, and Ryan. One of my favorite parts of service is when we break out into small groups during the time we're able to discuss what we were taught and ask questions. It's our time to grow deeper.
I hear the month of October is going to be overcoming your fears and being courageous. I can't wait to see and hear what God has for us this month.
Do we have any first-time guests in service today? If so, we want to connect with you. Follow us on Instagram at NextLevelYouthW3 and send a DM with your name and favorite part of service. We will follow up with you during the week.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us. We cannot wait to welcome you during service. Let's get into the scoop. This is for all you junior high ladies. If you are interested in Ladylike Discipleship Program, please be sure to connect with Miss Cadence this Sunday. This program will include outings, special gatherings, one-on-one mentoring, and much more.
Student Leadership Meeting is every second Sunday and fourth Sunday at 9:30 a.m. in the music room. Leaders, please bring your Bibles, journals, and something to write with.
Heat Ministry meets October 16th at 1 p.m. in the First Floor Youth Chapel. If you are 9th through 12th grade and interested in being a part of Heat Ministry, please make plans to be at the meeting.
Lastly, next week is Bring Your Silly Glasses. Bring your silly glasses and come worship with Next Level and Level Up Youth.
That's the scoop, family. Enjoy service.
See you there.
We'll see you there.
Hey, what's up? What's up? It's the first Sunday of the month, so we want to wish all of our birthdays. If your birthday is in October, I want you to stand up real quick. We want to celebrate you. All right, Jacob, what's up, man? Hey, all right. Let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. That's good. I don't know this. If it's your birthday, we're going to have some cupcakes for you guys after service. So please make sure to come see us afterwards to come get your treat, okay? Real quick, let me just make a couple of additional announcements in addition to the ones we've showed. Number one, there's going to be a prayer walk at KCA DeSoto this Saturday, October 8th, from 7 o'clock to 10 a.m. I've informed our student leaders it's optional, but for everybody, you're welcome to come. KCA DeSoto, 7 to 10, you can get some community service hours, okay? So make sure you take note of that. Prayer walk at KCA DeSoto. Student leaders, let me know or Kelly know as soon as possible who can go to our October outing, okay? Just want to fellowship with you all, so please let us know as soon as possible. Coming up in October is Harvest Fest. Who went to Harvest Fest last year? Okay, so we had a couple of people to go. So Saturday, October 29th, right? There's going to be games, fun, rides, candy, face painting, and pony rides. So come enjoy the fun. It'll take place here in the parking lot. Just a quick reminder, please remove your AirPods or your earphones. Kingdom Servant will also kindly ask you, and I ask that you would please respect any adult that asks you to do something. So please take out your earphones, your AirPods, and please be respectful and not be on your phone unless you're looking at a scripture or you're taking notes, especially during the sermon, okay? Also, and we can bring the music down just a little bit. There's a hurricane that had just happened in Florida, and so I just want to say a quick prayer for those who were severely affected by that. I know a Kingdom Servant whose family is from Florida, and so I've reached out to her to ask her, you know, if everybody's okay. And so I just want us to pray and to think about the people who are going through that situation. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for another day. We're blessed. We're here and we have a roof over our head, close to wear, food to eat, family and friends. And there are some people in Florida that have it a lot worse than us right now. Everything has been damaged. They've lost everything. Houses are ruined. People have been displaced. So that may that be a reminder for us to be thankful. But God, I just pray that you would provide for those who have lost all of their stuff. We just pray, God, that all of the people who are trying to help, that they're able to help. Thank you for the means that people have to help each other. I pray that we would just come together, God, as the people of God and as a country, to help those who have been affected by this hurricane. Just pray that everybody would continue to trust in you throughout this time of difficulty. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to bring up a special person, Hannah, who is one of our student leaders. She's going to share a brief word. I'm going to do a little quick Q&A. She was our... Y'all say, what's up? What's up? What's up? Didn't she do good on the announcements? Hey.
Thank you.
Okay, so Hannah was our one of our... She was our queen last time. She brought 228 cans last week. So let me start by... She's going to share a little bit I'm going to ask these questions. We got some of these jelly beans up here. Oh, Lord. Okay, it's all good. Okay, so Hannah, explain the analogy of blessed to be a blessing in your situation. That tell them about what happened and explain what it means for you to be blessed to be a blessing.
So what happened was me and my mom were at Walmart. We were calculating our money and how much money we had left for the cans to buy. And this lady comes up to us and she goes, I hear you guys over talking about cans. What is this for? And we said it's for OCBF Dr. Tony Evans, if you know of him. This is a donation for the pantry that I volunteer at. And she said that she wanted to donate. Is there a way? We told her, yes, either you could buy the cans and give them to us, or you could give us the money and we'll buy the cans and give you a receipt for it. So she comes up and she goes, here's a 20. And she takes back the 20. We were excited about the 20 already.
Yeah.
We were so excited about the 20. She takes the 20 back and she goes, here's a 50. By the time she gave us the 50, my mom was like in tears by this. I was so happy. And then she takes back the 50 and gives us 100.
Wow.
And by the time we were ecstatic. So we bought the cans, we gave her the receipt, and we prayed for her. So everyone who donated in my family and friends, we prayed for them that they'll receive an overflow. So that is basically the overview of how I was able to get 200 cans.
That's 200 cans. That is awesome. Okay, second, what's one piece of advice you could give to someone who wants to help further the kingdom?
One piece of advice I would give to someone who wants to help further the kingdom is that you are not too young to receive God's blessing, and you are not too young to be a blessing. I believe Mark 10:45 states that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Mm. Therefore, if you want to be more like Christ, serving is essential. That's what I would say.
Good, good. Last question. How did this blessing make you feel, and how do you feel it will help others?
This blessing made me feel honored to be able to serve God's kingdom in the way that I did and be able to have the I did. And also this blessing helps the pantry that I volunteer. It helps them because we don't just serve food. We also give them fellowship and a way to Christ, as we did multiple people.
Good. Thank you so much, Hannah.
Thank you so much.
Y'all give it up for her. Give it up for her. It's awesome. Blessed to be a blessing. Well, continuing on that theme of giving and furthering God's kingdom, what I want to do is introduce Miss Saran. You guys haven't met her, but she is new on staff with us, and Chad and Ryan and Natalie and Candace and Tariq. She joined us here in August during the break. Another jelly bean. Oh, Lord. We kicked those off the stage. Yes, Saran joined us. Now, she's really been a big help for us. She does a lot of stuff in the background, you know, outside, helping the greeters and registration team, and with a lot of stuff, making sure that we're all in order structure-wise. And so we're so thankful for her administrative work and her mind and her gifting, too. She's gifted for the kingdom. And so I want to introduce you to Saran, who's going to give us our inspiration for offering. Y'all give it up. Come on. I can do better than that.
Thank you. Thank you, Next Level. Hi, Isaac.
Hey, Saran.
Hey, y'all. So about 2 weeks ago, Mr. Isaac, he asked people to give their testimony on when was the first time that you experienced the power of God. I think that's what it was. And so I didn't get to give my testimony that night, but when he asked if I wanted to do offering, I said, sure. And I thought about doing this testimony for you guys because it really changed my life in the way that I think, in the way I handle money. So y'all want to hear a story? All right. So when I was in middle school, me and my two friends, Carrie and Jennifer, we would go to Hewlin Mall. I don't know if y'all know Hewlin Mall down 20 with Jennifer's mom. She was a nurse and she loved Air Max tennis shoes. She was a shoe head. So she had every color of Air Max. And we would go there. And we started, you know, navigating our way out of the store because it was so boring. And we would sit on this fountain, right? And so every once in a while, when someone wasn't looking, we would dip into the fountain. Yes, we were thieves. And we were taking money out of the fountain when no one was looking. Well, one day, there was no security. We noticed that no one was coming down to the end of the mall, right? And this fountain, y'all, it had thousands, maybe millions of coins, nickels, dimes, pennies, so much so that they had been gathered like in the corner. So what we start doing, we start dipping our hand in there, we slinging water everywhere, it's water everywhere, we sliding all over the floors, our pants, y'all, are soaking wet because we just stuffing money all in our pockets, right? And so Carrie, y'all, in a split second, we serve an amazing, powerful God, right? The creator of this earth. That's what we're talking about, right? Some of you are not going to believe me, but I promise, okay? Carrie said, and we look in the water, y'all, and there's a huge cross about from the top of my head to about right here, and then underneath the cross was Jesus.
Wow.
And let me tell y'all, the hairs on my arm stood up. Y'all know like in the Matrix where the air particles just so you can see everything froze. Like, I don't know if we were scared, if we just knew, we all knew Christ and we knew we were doing something wrong. And for God to move in that way, y'all, just like that, he shaped those coins into like a perfect cross. And when God does something, it's not sloppy. It looked like an artist went into that fountain and made that cross perfectly. And the letters of Jesus were spelled out underneath it, I promise. When we tell this story to this day, like people are laughing. They like, oh my gosh, is that really true? And we still get butterflies and feel like we're gonna, you know, upchuck because it was scary to us. Why? Because we were robbing that fountain. Or let me ask you a question. Who were we robbing? Were we robbing the mall? Were we robbing the people who put the pennies in there for their wishes? Or were we robbing God? Who were we robbing? We were robbing God. And in Malachi 3:8, it says, will a man rob God? That's what he's asking us. In the verse, it goes on to say, how are we robbing you, Lord? And he says, with your tithes and offering. I used to think at your age and even as an adult that that verse meant that if we don't give, that we're robbing God. But he don't need our money, y'all. All of this is still going to happen whether y'all put money in the bucket or not. We're still going to, God is going to provide for Next Level Youth, and we're still going to pull on an amazing service for y'all. He doesn't need your money. However, when Dr. Evans taught a sermon, he preached on this verse and he said, what we're actually doing when we don't have a heart of gratitude, just like what Hannah spoke about and Mr. Isaac spoke about, is that we are robbing God of the opportunity to bless us. I want y'all to meditate on that throughout the week of Malachi 3:8, that how will we rob God? How we're robbing him is the opportunity to bless us. Because when we give the tenth or we give an offering, if we don't do it with a joyful heart, regardless of how much you're giving, we are robbing him of really filling up our storehouse and pouring us out with a blessing. So I don't know if you have money to give today, but what I want to do is challenge you, because it later goes on in that verse that says, God says, one of the only times in the Bible, he says, test me, right? He says, test me. This is Lord, the creator, saying, you can test me when it comes to money. I challenge y'all, go back and ask your parents for money so you can participate in this offering. So you can get a mindset that we don't want God, we don't want to miss out on any of our blessings. We don't want to rob him of the chance to bless us. Okay?
Good.
Amen?
Y'all give it up for her.
Okay, amen, amen, amen. So just real quick, I wanted to share this verse, which is going to go into our sermon for today, which is Numbers 14, verses 5 through 10. So if we can all listen in, because this is going to be an essential part of our sermon. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephthah, who were there among these, had explored the land and tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid, people of the land, because they will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about the storming them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in a tent meeting the Israelites.
Today, the title of my message is Living Courageous in a Strange Culture. Living courageous in a strange culture. And the bottom line is that you would follow Christ even when others are fearful to do so. The bottom line is that you would follow Jesus even when other people are scared to do so. In fact, let me pause real quick and recognize my parents who just walked in. I just saw them. Hey, Mom and Dad, y'all just wave your hands. Praise God for them. Thankful for your support. Living courageous in a strange culture. I want you to say that to the person next to you. Say, hey, friend, I need you to follow Christ even when others are afraid. Dear Lord, we thank you for the time that we have to get into your word that is the source for us, a source of truth, perfect truth, that is not just information for us to take into our heads, but it's information that is given to us so that our hearts, our minds will be transformed and displayed through our feet and our hands. May it transform our lives so that we live courageous in the midst of a strange culture. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Are you or me, are we going to be courageous for Christ or a coward for the culture? Are we, that's what I'm talking about, Hannah. Are we going to be courageous for Christ or a coward for the culture? Courageous. I love it. Somebody listening. Are you going to be courageous for the Savior, bold for the Savior, or are you going to be a coward for this society? And when I say culture and society, I want you to understand what I mean, because not all culture is bad. When I refer to the culture, I'm referring to that part of society that leaves God out, which is the majority of it. We are living in a strange culture. I'm going to say something that could possibly get me canceled, but one of the ways you know things are getting strange is that today we are being taught that men can be women and women can be men, when that is not something up for debate, according to God's word. I was watching a documentary that was called What is a Woman? We are living in a day where that has to be a question. And the guy was going and interviewing people, and he was asking them, people on the street, can you tell me what a woman is? And people couldn't even give him the answer. We are living in a confused and strange culture where we don't even know how to define what a woman is. There are many things I can go on and on that shows and tells us that we're living in a very strange culture. And as I think about it, I want you to understand, and we'll say this repeatedly, but we're not endorsing the show Stranger Things. We're not endorsing the show Stranger Things. We're just using that to teach the word of God. We're living in a strange culture, but the issue is that Christians have joined the strangeness. So that you have Christians who are willing to agree with the culture at the expense of disagreeing with God. So you will have Christians affirming homosexuality when God says that it is sin. That's what the word says. I didn't make it up. We're living in a culture today where people who claim that they are followers of Jesus, but they do not live according to his standard. And so what has happened is that Christians have begun to consider God's word and God's standard to be something that is strange. And this actually happened long ago in the 8th century BC. In Hosea chapter 8, verse 12, we are told God says that they considered my law to be a strange thing. They had begun to, the people of God who were giving the law, giving God's standard, had begun to consider that to be a strange thing, so that the people of God no longer looked like a people of God, but the people of the culture. And unfortunately today, that's what Christians are doing. Not all. You see it on social media where Christians are quick to agree with people of the culture on all these subjects and are willingly and openly and sometimes even boldly to disagree with God when he has spoken clearly in his word. But God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Why does he tell them that? Well, if you read Joshua 1, the point is, be strong and courageous in obeying my word. Because you got a lot of folk who are strong and courageous in disobeying God. You got a lot of Christians today who are strong and courageous and are bold enough to speak against God's word and then claim that they are a Christian. And no wonder why today that the one thing that atheists and people who don't like Christianity, the one thing they always criticize us about is our hypocrisy. I'm not talking about slipping up every now and then. I'm talking about living a consistent lifestyle. Yeah, you might struggle with your sexuality, struggle with homosexuality, struggle with pornography, but it's a struggle. You're not comfortable with it. It's not an ongoing, consistent lifestyle. But today, Christians have joined the strangeness. And he tells Joshua, don't join the strangeness. Be strong and courageous in obeying my word. In our text today, there were two men who were strong and courageous. Joshua and Caleb. Two men who decided that they were going to follow God even when others were scared to do so. They were willing to follow God's word even when others around them were scared to do so. And that's the challenge for you and me, to follow Jesus in the midst of a strange, confused, and fearful culture. Now, we're in the book of Numbers, and Numbers, we need to do a little bit of review because we're in the book of Numbers. This is in the Pentateuch. So you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, first five books of the Bible written by Moses. Okay, in the book of Genesis, we have what we call the Abrahamic covenant. We just talked about that. God makes a promise to Abraham that he's going to give him a people, a land, and a what? Worldwide blessing. When you get to the end of the book of Genesis and you open up Exodus, Abraham's descendants have grown into a nation. We got the people. God delivers the people of Israel from Egypt, and in the book of Exodus, he gives them his law so that they would know how to live in the land and represent him and be a light to everybody else. And then later on in the story, and you open up the book of Matthew, Jesus' first and second coming at the end of Revelation, you have the worldwide blessing. In our text today, we are in between the time they have received the law and the time that they are about to go experience God's promises. Numbers 13, God tells Moses to choose 12 men to be leaders and go spy out the land. So they're about to get a preview of the promise, like a mini trailer, right? They're about to get a taste of what God is going to give them. Notice I said God is going to give them. In Numbers 10:29, Moses tells his father-in-law, come with us to the land that God is going to give us. He's going to give it to us. Moses gives them instruction, and he's like, hey, go check out the land, the one that God is going to give us. And so the question on the floor as we walk through this story is, will they trust God's word despite what they see? Will they believe that God is going to give them the land despite the obstacle and the situation and the problem that they will come to face? Will they walk by faith and not by sight? Well, let's see, how do they hold up? They go and spy the land, and it takes about 40 days, and they come back. They got these grapes, and they're like, they give this report. Pivotal moment. They give this report, and they're like, Moses, they bring back these grapes and pomegranates, and they're like, the land is good. Good. You know, when God bless you, it's going to be good. Go enjoy. He says, all right, they say, hey, Moses, here's all the stuff, man. It's a good land. He uses this metaphor flowing with milk and honey. And when you're reading the Bible, some of it is metaphorical. Not all of it. But when you're reading the Bible and it says that the land is flowing with milk and honey, it's not literally milk and honey. It's a metaphor of saying it's good. It's going to be great. Nevertheless. Uh-oh. The people in the land are strong. They're big, their cities are fortified, and they were intimidating. And while they're giving this scary report to Moses, there's a man by the name of Caleb, and if you can imagine, he was a descendant of Ham, we're told in the Tony Evans Study Bible, and so he kind of probably looked somewhat like me, just to be historically accurate. He's like colored, right? And so Caleb, he's like, shh, shh. They're giving this bad report, and Caleb's like, shh, shh, shh. We can surely overcome it. Let's go. Let's go get it. And later on in the book, Joshua adds and joins the party, and he's like, hey, let's go to the land. We can do it. If God is pleased with us, he's going to give it to us. Don't be afraid of the people. And so they're speaking up, and that tells me, point number one, that courageous men and women speak up when others are afraid. Courageous men and women speak up when others are scared. We are living in a day where people are scared to call themselves Christian, where people are ashamed of Jesus Christ, where people are ashamed of God's word. Let me ask you, are you ashamed of what the Bible teaches about the certain subjects? Are you ashamed of what the Bible says about the issue of abortion, about the issue of race, about the issue of men and women and God's divine order? Are you ashamed of what God says about sex and sexuality and how he defines marriage between one man, one woman, and that's it? Anything outside of that is not marriage. Are you ashamed, or are you courageous enough to speak God's truth on any subject? We need more young men and young women, especially young men, to speak up when others are afraid to speak God's truth on any subject, despite how it may make people feel. See, we get so worried about how people are going to feel that we forget how God will feel, because we rather please people, the culture, rather than please God. And we still call ourselves Christians. Courageous men and women speak up when others are fearful. You know, in the Bible, in Genesis, I wonder what it would look like if Adam spoke up. See, we are told that she took the fruit and then she gave to Adam. Sound like me? Adam was right there present. In fact, in the New Testament, Paul says that the woman was deceived, but Adam wasn't. Now, wait a minute. That's not the time for a man to pat his hand on his back. That's embarrassing. The woman was tricked, but the man wasn't. That means he knew what would happen. And yet he still made the decision. Passive. Young men, we need men who are no longer need any men who are going to be passive. These men who are in the text, they were given this scary report and they were acting like punks. Scared. But today we are in dire need of a new generation of young men who are going to stand up, be courageous enough and bold enough to speak God's truth despite a fearful and strange culture. Jesus says this, because one of the things we worried about is getting canceled by people. I don't care if people cancel me for what I say. Doesn't mean I speak the truth without love, but you guarantee I'm going to speak the truth. See, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 10. Let me tell you something. He says, if you are ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. This ain't the nice, pretty, blonde-haired Jesus you used to hearing. This is the one that says, if you don't want to confess me before people, you don't want to proclaim and represent Jesus before everybody else at your school, I'm not going to confess you before my Father. I'm not going to confess you before my Father. And so who are you willing to be canceled by? You're going to have to make a decision. Are you willing to be canceled by your friends because of your views? Or are you willing to be canceled by Christ? Courageous men and women speak up when others are fearful. Joshua and Caleb spoke up. And one of the things that they talked about was that they didn't deny the reality that the people were bigger than them in the land. Check that out. They didn't say, you know what? The people, they're not even that big. They overreacted. They recognized that it was God who was going to give them the land. So it was not based on their own strength and ability. Tells me point number two. Let me give it to you. Courageous men and women depend on God's ability and not their own. Courageous men and women depend on God's ability and not their own. You see, Joshua and Caleb had a divine and spiritual perspective. They knew that it was God's going to give them the land. So it doesn't matter what is in front of me and what I see. All I have to do is walk by faith and I'm going to experience what God has promised. You see what they were doing? Let me tell you something. Comparison is really not bad. You ever hear people say comparison is the thief of joy? I've said it. But is comparison bad? You see, Joshua and Caleb compared the strength of the people that they were coming up and against. They compared the size of their problem to the size of their God. While those who were scared compared their strength to the strength of the people. See, that's the issue. We compare the wrong things, but you have to compare the right things. What situation, what big issue are you facing today? Is it being bullied at school? Is it a struggle with your sexuality? Is it a struggle with being accepted by people at school? Is it a struggle with your family? Don't focus on how big the problem is. Focus on how big your God is. David said, the Lord is with me, so I won't fear. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, not because I'm strong and I got it all together, but because God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. So I can walk through the valley. I don't have to depend on my own strength, but on the strength of God. Courageous men and women depend on God's ability and not their own. Chuck Swindoll says this. When you compare what you lack to what others possess, intimidation will replace confidence. When you compare what you lack to what others possess, intimidation will replace confidence. There are youth in this room that are gifted. You may have an angelic voice. We don't even know what angels sound like, but we say that. You have a beautiful voice. You can dance. You might be a preacher. You can lead. But because you are scared of what the person next to you thinks, intimidation has replaced confidence. And so instead of you walking in your calling, walking in your gifting, you are just coming here and sitting on the gift that God gave you. Courageous men and women depend on God's ability and not their own. There were two spies, Joshua and Caleb. Just two. He sent 12 total spies. And so you're telling me that 10 of them versus two. You got, what's the percentage? Two versus ten. What's the percentages of that? What's that percentage? 20, okay, there we go. Somebody said it. You got 20% versus what? 80%. Where am I going? You got the minority versus the majority. You got the minority opinion versus the majority opinion. Point three, courageous men and women tend to be the minority and not the majority. It tends to be a few. It tends to just be a minority, a group of people who are going to be courageous enough to follow Jesus despite what other people are talking about. Who in this building, who are the young men and young women, who are the few who are going to follow Jesus and his standard, no matter where you are, despite what other people think? Will the true Christians and the courageous Christians please rise up? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Give yourselves a hand clap. You may be seated. Now, I really didn't plan that. Thank you for whoever started standing up. I love that. That was awesome. Courageous men and women tend to be the minority and not the majority. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7. Wide is the gate, and there be many that go that way. Don't follow the crowd. Few, or narrow is the way that leads to life, and there be few that find it. Let me tell you something. Wherever the culture thinks, don't even think. As soon as you see a lot of people agreeing on a certain issue, that just might be your first ticket to just say bye. Let me tell you something. I don't care if it got a lot of likes. I don't care if it got a lot of retweets. I don't care if it got a lot of reposts. It's a lot of stuff I used to see on Twitter, and it'd get 100,000, you know, some famous person's tweeting it, and it'd get 100K likes, and I'm like, it's dead wrong. The majority of people can be dead wrong. Y'all know that? If you think for a moment, if we could travel back in time and ask an African American, can the majority of people be wrong? They would say, oh, yes. Because you had a majority of people who thought that they were superior because of the color of their skin. One of the cons of, I might be wrong, but one of the cons of democracy is the tyranny of the majority. You can have everybody agreeing on something and everybody can be wrong. Chuck Swindoll says this again, majority opinion is not an accurate measurement of right and wrong. It's not an accurate measurement of what's right and what's wrong. Courageous men and women tend to be the minority and not the majority. Who's going to be the few young women and few young men who are just not scared to follow Jesus in a culture that's not just strange, but is getting stranger? We need that. Courageous men and women speak up when others are afraid. Courageous men and women depend on God's ability and not their own. Courageous men and women like Joshua and Caleb tend to be the minority and not the majority. And so Joshua and Caleb speak up. We're back in the text. They quiet down. Shh, shh, shh. We can do this. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We can overcome it. You're always going to have people who say, we can't. We can't do it. It's too big. It's too big of an issue. You're going to have a few people that say, yes, we can. Yes, we can. And so they give this bad and negative report. I'm in Numbers 14 right now. And now the whole congregation is now scared. Let me read this to you. It says, then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. Numbers 14, 1. And the people wept that night. All the sons and daughters of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? When did God say that? Our wives and our little ones and will become plunder. Would it not be that we just go back to Egypt? You know what? Forget Moses. Let's appoint a new leader. See, in the previous chapters, they had questioned God's provision. They had already questioned God's leader, Moses, and now they are questioning God's plan and promises. Let me give you 3 points on fear. Fear is contagious. It spread to all the people. It started with the 10 spies, and then because of their bad mouth, it had spread to everybody. Not everybody scared. They filled with sorrow and grief and regret. They grumbling and complaining. Never mind, God said he's going to give them the land. There are some of you in here that have a negative attitude. And it is spreading. It is spreading. You see, there are some of you, you used to act different before you start hanging out with the person you come with now. You were this sweet young lady or sweet young man who enjoyed coming and would smile and would come down to worship. But now, all of a sudden, you're just not the same no more. You come here and you sit, you don't worship. You know, praise in the Bible is vocal. If you ain't, it ain't praise if it ain't, you can't hear it. Natalie said amen. It's not praise if you can't hear it. And so what has happened is that somebody's negative response has contaminated and has transferred to your spirit. And what you going to have to do? Cut them off. Say, you know, hey, man, like, can we work? You can try to, you know, try to keep the relationship going. Say, hey, you know, let's worship. You know, forget. It's actually cool to worship. It's not cool to not. Okay? And so you just tell that person, hey, you know, let's go worship. You know, forget all that stuff. Let's do it, you know. Fear is contagious. Having a negative attitude is contagious. Maybe you're not the person that has been affected by somebody, but maybe you are the person. Time for self-examination. Are you the one who is affecting those around you because of your negative response, your negative attitude of when you come here? Is it like that at school? You got this attitude like, I don't want to be here. My parents forced me to be here, so I'm just going to sit like this the whole time. And not listen, and be on my phone, and be on Twitter, and TikTok. Forget this, I'm putting my AirPods. And now your friends around you got the AirPods in. You didn't used to skip service. Now you walking out, sneaking out, you know? You sneaking out. You didn't used to act like that. But because somebody else is doing it, now you doing it. Stop. We don't need no more followers. If you're going to follow somebody, follow Jesus. Fear is contagious. it spread to the whole congregation. And let me tell you something. Fear also reveals a lack of trust. Well, yeah, y'all thought because we got done with homecoming, we don't need to talk about trust no more. No, that's foundational. You have to remember what we learned about trust, because that's how you're going to live courageous in a strange culture, is trusting in God. Deuteronomy 1:32, Moses is retelling the story to another generation. He's like, they didn't trust God. They didn't trust the Lord. Point number five, fear reveals a lack of trust in God. Point number six, fear causes one to question God's plan. They're like, oh, what is this we doing? Can we go back to Egypt? All right, let's go back. We're about to die. As if God is not trustworthy. He done all that stuff for them, and now they like, let's go back. We are silly sometimes. You know, not trusting in God is silly. I can't believe that I still do it. It's like sometimes I'm like questioning God. I'm like, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? God is like, I'm dependable. Sometimes you can't depend on people, but you can depend on me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Your understanding is not reliable. So stop trying to make sense of everything and trust in me. Some things in your life are going to happen that are big and you're not going to understand it. Trust in the Lord. They failed to do that because of their fear. Peter, why are you afraid? I'm right here. I'm literally walking on water. If I can walk on water and you walking on water, just keep looking at me. Why are you scared? Because of your perspective. You have begun to focus on all that is going on around you and you're not focusing on me. I'm the creator of the waters. Peter, trust in me. He gets on the boat and he's like, why were y'all afraid? And that's a question for you too. Why are you scared of this situation you're struggling with? Why? This question you have to answer yourself. The people respond. Fear is contagious. Fear reveals a lack of trust. Fear causes one to question God's plan in the sense of challenging him. Because it's okay to question God. You read the book of Habakkuk, he's like, why, God? Why? But it's the questioning God where you're just challenging his plans and his promises. That's the issue. Where you're like, God, this shouldn't be happening to me. You don't know what should and shouldn't be happening to me. We don't know that. Sometimes the trials that we're going through are necessary for us to go to the next level youth. So what happens next? They give this fearful report, and Joshua and Caleb, they stand up, and they're courageous men who speak up. The Lord comes down. The glory of the Lord appears, and he judges. He says, you know what? The 10 spies, y'all talking about y'all gonna die in the wilderness? They die by a plague. The rest of the people that was complaining, that was contaminated by their fear, they're not going to experience God's promises. The next generation will. Tells me the final point. God rewards the faithful and disciplines the faithless or the fearful. He rewards and he disciplines. And because they fail to trust in God, they are not going to experience his promises. Courageous men and women speak up when others are scared. Courageous men and women depend on God's ability and not their own. Courageous men and women tend to be the minority and not the majority. Stay away from the crowd. Fear is contagious. Having a negative attitude, it spreads. Fear reveals a lack of trust in God. Fear causes one to question God's plan, and God will reward the faithful and the courageous. He tells Moses, Caleb and Joshua are the only ones who are going to go into the land. Because they obeyed. We kind of did this earlier. But, you know, God has a divine order, right? He created Adam first. Not because Adam is better than Eve. But that's just God's order. He starts with the man. We are in dire need of some young men who are going to be courageous for Jesus. It starts with you. I'm tired of hearing that girls mature faster than boys. You ever heard that? I hear that. I used to hear it all the time. And if you notice, when you come to church, it's easier to find girls and women to participate in things than it is to find young boys and men. Always outnumbered. In fact, they had a single summit, and it was like a 40-to-1 ratio. You can get women to show up, but where are the men? If you want to be a young man that is courageous for Jesus, I want you to stand up right now. This is what we need. Men, it starts with you. As God defines a man, not the culture. I want you to repeat after me. I choose this day to be courageous for Christ and not a coward for the culture. You may be seated. Now, wait. Lest you think courageous is just for a man to be, it is something for a woman to be too. We still need courageous women for Jesus Christ. One of my favorite stories of early Christianity, it was a crown to be a Christian. Her name was Perpetua, whatever. And one of the things is, it was a crown to be a Christian. They were making sport of her before she was about to be killed. They had her in this coliseum, this stadium, and, you know, putting her out there with the animals. And we are told that she was getting tossed around, just boom, 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 boom. Her got messed up. We are told that she got up, she tied her hair because she didn't want it to look like she was mourning in her time of triumph. Perpetua. She was willing to be canceled by the culture. She considered that being canceled by the culture was a time to be courageous for Jesus. That was a time for triumph for her. And she embraced it. She said, I'm time, I hurt up. This is my time. We need women like that. I love the story of Shipra and Puah in Exodus chapter 1. Their fear of God was greater than their fear of man. And they were willing to be canceled by the rulers of Egypt in order to be accepted by God. Read their story, young ladies. Brave and bold young women, and we need more today. So if you want to be a courageous woman for Christ, I want you to stand up. And I want you to repeat the same thing after me. I choose this day to be courageous for Christ and not a coward for the culture. Maybe seated. Are you going to be courageous for Christ or a coward for the culture? The bottom line is simply this. Follow Jesus despite this strange, confused culture that considers following Jesus to be strange. They think that's weird. But will you still follow him? I want everybody to bow their head as I share the gospel. The gospel is simply this: that you and I are sick. We are broken. And I'm not going to say beyond repair, but we are broken. The culture won't tell you that, but you are broken. And you can't help yourself. You can't save yourself. Because of your sin, you are in dire need of a savior. And it is only when you recognize that you are a sinner that you will recognize your need for the Savior. And there's only one Savior. There's only one name under heaven by which men and women can be saved. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. He came down from heaven, lived a perfect life for you and I. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. We had sin tickets. The judge was sentencing us to death and forever separation from God. It's called hell. And if you have not accepted Jesus into your life, you are headed to hell, whether you believe it or not. You don't have to believe in gravity to feel it. You are on your way to hell. You got all these sin tickets, but man, Jesus came and he said, I can pay those so that you are legally free to go. Jesus paid it all. And then he arose from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was a receipt that the payment went through. He paid it all. Boom. And the card went through. It was enough. And it's only through him, his works, his life, that you can experience salvation from your sins, salvation from death, and have eternal life, which is knowing and experiencing the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. The best decision you could ever make. So if you've never made that decision before, I want you to courageously and boldly stand up in 3, 2. If you've never made this decision before, it's your time. Tomorrow is not promised. Death does not care about how old you are. In 3, 2, 1, stand up if that is you and you want to make that decision today. We need kingdom service to come walk them to the altar call room. We want to make sure that you understand the gospel. We want to make sure that you understand what you're doing. To the altar call room to my left. If there's any more, it's still time. Don't be scared of what other people are talking about, what other people are doing in this moment. Don't be like the 10 spies. Don't be scared. If you're going to be scared of something, be scared of being in hell. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just giving you the reality that you are going to suffer if you don't accept Jesus into your life. You can do that now. 3, 2, 1. Courageously stand up. If you've already made that decision, but you haven't been living for Jesus, you came to the altar call and you haven't really done, his word is a strange thing to you. You just be honest. You don't read the word daily. You don't meditate on it day and night like he told Joshua. It's something that is foreign to you, which means his standard is foreign to you. And to be quite honest, you have been a coward for the culture. You've been agreeing with everybody else. You've been more willing to grieve the Holy Spirit than to grieve everybody else. To make the Holy Spirit upset so that you can please people. Maybe you've been a people pleaser. Or maybe you need prayer because you're facing a big situation in front of you. It may be a family situation. It might be a financial situation. It might be a toxic relationship. It might be some young boy or some young girl that you're dealing with, and it's just toxic. And it's affecting you and affecting who you are. Maybe you need prayer and encouragement. Our kingdom service can give you wisdom so that you can experience heaven. It's not just about going to heaven. It's about heaven entering into our lives and changing our lives for God's glory and your good. when I count to one, I want you to stand up. If you need prayer or you need help, like you want to be more courageous for Jesus and you want to talk to somebody, you need prayer because you're scared about this certain situation and you just want to be poured into and pumped up, I want you to stand up. In 3, 2, 1. No fear. Courage. Courage. Kingdom servants, take them to the altar call room and pour into them. Come to this room. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. We want to build you up because this is ministry. We're here to, we care about you. The world doesn't. The people you listen to and you come across on social media, they don't care about what you're going through. But we're here standing in the gap wanting to minister to you. You stand up in 3, 2, 1. Praise God. I'm going to close us out in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word that was challenging to all of us, a reminder for myself and for everyone to live courageously for Jesus, to not be scared to proclaim his standard. We speak the truth, but we speak it with love. But nevertheless, we have to speak the truth. It's a commandment, not an option. So to not do so is to disobey you. We don't want to be cowards for the culture anymore. We want to live courageously for Jesus. So I pray for every student in here and for myself, for every adult in here, that we would continue on a consistent basis. Yeah, we might fall. We may slip up. But your arms are always open wide. That's what kind of God you are. My professor called it a love that won't let you go. You won't let us go. We're so thankful for your unconditional love that was demonstrated on the cross. Pray for every one of these students that you would plant within them that bold and courageous spirit that Joshua and Caleb had. For every young man, every young woman in here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in to our Next Level Youth online services. My name is Isaac Shepherd. You can find more youth content on our Facebook and Instagram at Next Level Youth W3. Also, don't forget to tune in to Dr. Tony Evans every Sunday at 11 a.m. on our OCBF Church, Facebook, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you.